people spend so much time trying to fake it to make it in order to at least give the impression I know who I am and what I'm doing.
But Dr. Tony Evans says external appearances will never change our internal realities.
Life becomes meaningless when it gets disconnected from God and eternity.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Imagine how different life could be if we devoted more attention to how we are than we did to how we look. That's Dr. Evans' subject today as he takes us to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 for a look at moving from vanity to victory.
My oldest daughter, Crystal, when she was growing up, loved to do something. She loved to put together puzzles. When Christmas time came around, her mother and I would always know we would have to buy a puzzle for Crystal to put together. She loved the challenge of taking that which was disconnected and connecting it to give whatever picture on the box was to be the result of connecting the pieces of the puzzle together. On one occasion, after she had demonstrated the ability to do this quite well and was putting together puzzles fairly quickly, we brought her a 1,000-piece puzzle. Of course, this puzzle had a large amount of pieces connected to it that she had to make sense of and connect. It wasn't too long before she came in to our room from the table in which she was working on the puzzle with great frustration. And she came in and said, "Dad, I can't do this." I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it's got too many pieces. It's too complicated. It's got too much. And it's not working. It's not coming together." If we were to look at our lives, sometimes you get to the point where it has too many pieces. Things aren't working out right. They aren't connecting. They aren't intersecting. There are some here today who the picture of your life now is not what you dreamt it to be. You had dreams that it would go this way. You would have accomplished this. You would have achieved that. And it's just not coming together. Perhaps you thought your career would go this way and it's gone that way. Perhaps you thought your relationship would go this way and it's gone that way. And it just does not fit. Doesn't make sense. So the question on the floor in our series, which is called The Eternal Perspective, is how do you put life together so that it works? What I'm going to share with you now will lend a great helping hand to you not having a life that does not work. If you want to lose weight, you probably wouldn't go to an obese nutritionist or doctor. If you want to grow hair, you probably wouldn't go to a hairless person. In other words, you want the person you go to for advice to be an illustration of what you're looking for help with in your own life. So when it comes to living life, God chose a person who would be the best qualified to teach us about it. Not only did he choose the best person, he chose the person who I am going to talk about today to write a whole book in the Bible about your life and mine coming from his life, and his life is the illustration. So there's one whole book in the Bible written about your life and how to live it and how not to live it. 12 full chapters written about that one subject. The man's name is Solomon. The book God gave him to write was Ecclesiastes. If anyone is qualified to tell you about life, it's Solomon. I mean, here is a man who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was the son of a king. Here's a man who had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends, so you know he should have been a happy fella. And yet, when he opens up his book in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the first three verses says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun?" The word vanity means emptiness, worthlessness, that which is without purpose. If any man shouldn't have been empty, should have been Solomon. He had everything you and I dream for, long for, and go after. Solomon's point is that when life gets disconnected from God and eternity, it inevitably becomes meaningless. He says, when your life under the sun gets disconnected from God and an eternal perspective, you can expect to be able to say, as he says, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." He takes us on a tour of his life. He gives us a sampling of how he tried to fill the hole that he was feeling deep down in his soul. He said, "I said to myself, let me test you, life. Let me find out what life is all about. What a party. I mean, everybody likes a party. Everybody likes a jam. Everybody likes to be able to have a good time." He says, let me just have a good time. And so if I can have a good time, then I can feel alive. What did you do to have a good time? Because he says in verse 1, so go ahead and enjoy yourself. He says in verse 3, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body. I wanted my body to feel something. I wanted to feel something. And so he says, I drank wine till I couldn't handle it anymore. I tested pleasure that would turn my body on so that I would feel this sense of life and purpose. Isn't that what we gravitate to? What thing, what person, what scenario can make me enjoy this thing called life? Said, I tried it. I tried to have a good time. It was fun, but it wasn't filling. He says in verse 4, I enlarged works and I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. Verse 5, I made gardens and parks for myself. Verse 6, I made ponds of water for myself. Verse 8, I collected for myself silver and gold and treasures of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men and many concubines. I was a player. He said, and I did all this for myself because I wanted to feel it. And so I spared no expense. Here was a man who didn't have to go to a party. He was the party because he could afford it. How did the pleasure work out for you, Solomon? How did the party work? How did the good times roll? He said, verse 11, I considered my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was no profit underneath the sun. He said, after the party, emptiness set in again. After the folk left, dryness set in again. He says, it was vexing to me and it was vanity. Not because it wasn't fun. It just had no meaning attached to it. No purpose attached to it. He's talking about emptiness of life underneath the sun. That is, disconnected from God. So he tried something else. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll get me an edumacation. Verse 12, so I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom exceeds folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know one fate will befall them both. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why was I then more wise? This also is vanity. He says, death is the great equalizer between the fool and the wise man. As educated as you are, and I'm sure virtually everybody here has graduated from high school, most have graduated from college, then there's this group that has a master's degree, and then there's this other group that may have a doctorate degree, and I got bad news for all of you. Same news. That your education, knowledge, understanding, and informational base will not keep you from the grave. Because you're under the sun. And everybody under the sun, he says, shares the same fate. So he could not find meaning in education because it wasn't going to keep him alive any longer. If you live your life only underneath the sun for time and space and the five senses, if that becomes the sum total definition of your life, you will have vanity. That leads us to probably the most famous chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that, and there's a time for this, and there's a time for that. Time to live, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to laugh, a time to cry. He goes through this in the first half of chapter 3. There's a time, a time, a time, a time, a time, a time. What is he saying? He's saying, I got bad news for you. You live, I live, we live in a closed universe. Because soon as you find out there's something to laugh about, something else is going to happen to make you cry. Soon as you find some peace, something else is going to break up to turn it into war. You are locked into a closed universe and there is no escape. That's why people are looking for ways to escape, because they're trying to break out of this closed universe, because they feel stuck and stymied in things they cannot control that makes life hold them hostage in a way that they do not want to be jailed. God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Verse 9 of chapter 3. What profit is there to the worker from that which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. Wait a minute, God. You did this on purpose? I've seen the task. Because living is work. He says, I've seen the job description that God has given men under the sun with which to occupy. God, why do you have me trapped in this thing called life when all I've got to look forward to is death? Oh, he helps us in verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. Yet so that men will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever, that there is nothing to add to it and there is nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear him. Ah. God has boxed you and me in to time and space and made it so we can't break out of it to force us to him. He has set eternity in your heart. Now, you may not know it, but that longing for fulfillment, God said, is a longing for him. That longing for purpose is a longing for him. So he has set within time and space an empty spot that we try to fill with cheap substitutes in order to find meaning that can only be discovered in him, and he did it on purpose. He set eternity in your heart. So that deep down where you live with you, unless you cover it over with fake stuff, there is this hole that only he can fill. So he wants life underneath the sun to get connected with life above the sun. He wants your human life to be connected with God and eternity. And to the degree that you connect eternity to time is to the degree you change vanity into victory. But as long as you disconnect it, you're trapped in something you cannot change.
Dr. Evans says one of the reasons we sometimes stay disconnected is that we're looking at life upside down and inside out. He'll tell us more about that in a moment when he continues this message from his series, The Eternal Perspective. This collection will give you a whole new angle on living, working, loving, and serving by helping you see the big picture that pulls all the pieces of your life together. Along the way, you'll discover deeper reassurance, build your confidence, and sharpen your focus on what it means to live a rich, eternal life. Request it right away, and we'll send you all 10 CDs in this brand new collection as our gift when you help support Tony's work with a contribution of whatever amount God leads you to give, large or small. The title again, The Eternal Perspective. Just visit us at TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements before time runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or let one of our resource team members help you day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, stay with us for part two of today's lesson, coming up right after this.
You know you have the gift of teaching, maybe even preaching, but you think, no, I could never serve that way. I'm no theologian. I don't know enough. Well, it's time to get equipped for your calling with the help of the Tony Evans Training Center. It's got online courses covering key concepts of the faith like prayer, evangelism, and spiritual warfare, and in-depth studies of books like James. The material is challenging, but Tony has recorded exclusive content to help you through it, and the online format lets you work at your own pace. And when questions come up, there's an online forum where you can get detailed answers. Whether you're preparing for ministry or just want to deepen your understanding of God's Word, the Tony Evans Training Center is the resource you need. A world of discovery. Anytime, anywhere.
You are not living in the land of the living on your way to the land of the dying. You are living in the land of the dying on your way to the land of the living. So if you think this is it, you're going to live like this is it. If you know this is not it, then you will live as though it's not it. And you will find life in that approach. You're living from the time you were born, from the time your baby was born, they started the march to the grave. This is not the land of the living on the way to the land of the dying. It's the land of the dying on the way to the land of the living. And so to make that eternal connection with that eternal perspective is God's answer to the question of purpose, meaning. He said, it is good for a man or woman to enjoy themselves, okay, to enjoy life. God doesn't mind you having fun as long as it doesn't exclude him. He doesn't mind you, he says, to enjoy life. It is a gift of God. Don't misread that. He says, life is a gift of God. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. Life is God. Life is a gift from God. It's never to become God. So the moment you make life a God instead of a gift from God, you make your life an idol that competes with God. So many people live their lives as though your life is God, and God will never respect idolatry, even if the idol is yourself. Life without God is like a needle without a thread and a pen without ink. He says, enjoy life, just don't disconnect it from me. All that's legitimate to enjoy 1 Timothy 6 says, God has given you all things to enjoy. If God has given it and God's not excluded for it, God says, enjoy it. Maximize it. Don't disconnect it. Everybody knows my favorite food is fried chicken. Okay? The gospel bird. My favorite food is fried chicken. So whenever I go to the Atlanta airport, there's this chicken place. And they got like some of the best fried chicken. Chicken that's been cooked in heaven. Just placed on earth. That's some good chicken. So some years ago, I happened to be right there with Pascal's. And it was calling my name, Tony. Calling my name. Ah, this had to be a God moment. Because I'm working my way over to Pascal's when I hear last call flight 74 from Atlanta to Dallas. Last call flight 74 from Atlanta to Dallas. I mean, that's like bad timing. So I'm on the horns of a dilemma. I'm going to tell you now, I'm struggling. Because the plane is ready to take off, but Pascal's is calling my name. And you have to understand how bad I wanted that chicken. I wanted that chicken bad because that chicken is enjoyable. But they're calling my flight. So do I get the chicken and miss the flight, or do I catch the flight and miss the chicken? What I did was I hurry up and bought the chicken and took it on the flight. Because I'm sure you would agree, I did not go to the airport to eat chicken. That just happens to be a bonus being at the airport. I went to the airport to catch my flight to Dallas, and you would call me a fool to give up the reason I'm there for a momentary succulent bone. God put you here for him. He doesn't mind you enjoying the chicken. He just says, don't miss the plane. Don't miss the reason I put you here. I put you here for me. Everything else is a bonus to that. And the moment you skip me, you miss the flight to enjoy the chicken. You may have fun with the chicken, but you'll regret that you missed the plane. And so he closes with the last chapter of the book, chapter 12. And for those of you under 40, I want you to pay close attention to this, you teenagers here under 40, because 40 was the generational switch in the Bible. Once you hit 40, you are now in the next generation, which means a bunch of y'all are going downhill, okay? If you're over 40, you're heading south, okay? He says in chapter 12, the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 1, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. A lot of people want to give themselves to God when there's nothing left to give. They want to read the Bible when they can't see. They want to hear a sermon when they can't hear. They want to serve God when they can't get out of bed. Because he spends the chapter talking about body parts wearing out. He talks about eyes going dim and ears that can't hear and legs that can't walk and arms that can't grab. Now you old and you want to give yourself to God. He says, remember your creator when you still have eyes and ears and legs and tongue and mind and strength. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Parents, remind your children and your grandchildren to remember their creator when they have the capacity to do something that matters for eternity. Why? Because of the last two verses. The conclusion, verse 13, when all has been heard, is to fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. The Hebrew means this applies to all of you. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Because you're going to have to meet God one day. You're going, whether you want to or not, it ain't over when it's over. you're going to have to meet God. I'm going to have to meet God. So since we got to meet him and we don't have a choice, and he offers us purpose if we meet him now and not just wait to meet him then and enjoy the good things that he's given us along the way, he says you can have victory and not vanity. They tell you at Yellowstone Park, don't feed the bears. You know, you go to Yellowstone Park, there's a sign that says, don't feed the bears. Because you're going to give the bears junk. And when you keep all the tourists keep giving the bears junk, they're going to lose their ability to eat from the natural habitat that they are living in every day, because they keep looking for the junk, the sweets. They keep looking for the cotton candy. They keep looking for the peanuts. They keep looking for the touristy stuff. So when the tourists are gone, they don't know how to live in their natural habitat. So don't feed the bears. Look, don't let the world out there feed you and trick you so that you no longer can live as God wants you to live.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a story to help you avoid falling for that trick, so stay with us. Today's message was called Changing Vanity into Victory, and it's available to review on your own or to share with your church. It's also part of Tony's 10-lesson series called The Eternal Perspective. Remember, this collection of full-length CDs will come your way as our gift when you make a contribution of any size, our way of saying thanks for your faithful support that keeps Tony's teaching on this station. Get all the details and make your request online at tonyevans.org. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are standing by to help you day and night. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll come back to tell you what's coming up next time, right after this important word from Dr. Evans.
You only have two options to get to heaven. One, you can be as good as God. That's perfect, because God is perfect and he only accepts perfection. But if you can't do it that way, he has another way, and that is grace. He will give you salvation free of charge by your accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He will give you perfection and credit it to you.
There's more to the story, and Dr. Evans would love to share it with you. Just visit tonyevans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. He has a short, powerful video that explains what real Christianity is about, along with some free follow-up resources. It could be the most important few minutes of your life. One last time, that's at tonyevans.org. Lots of people daydream about how much easier life could be if they just had more money. But Dr. Evans says that affluence often causes more problems than it solves, as he talks about what it means to be truly rich. And he'll tell us about it next week. Right now, though, he's back with his final illustration for today.
Reggie Jackson had a nickname, a famous baseball player. His nickname was Mr. October. Everybody knew him as Mr. October, because in October, the boy would show off. I remember sitting there at a World Series and watched him hit 4 home runs in one game. A news reporter came to him after the game and said, "Why, Reggie Jackson, are you so good in October?" Reggie Jackson said, "Simple, because I begin in the preseason in February to play with October in mind. So even though I'm in February, my mind is on October. And because I never lose sight of October, I can play well in February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and I'm really ready to show up in October because I begin with October in mind." So as you leave today, leave with eternity in mind, and you'll do well in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Don't disconnect this life from the life to come.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.